Bible Fellowship. The Lord is so good. No matter what we say, no matter what we do, God still loves us. So I just want to say good morning to you. Happy Valentine's Day. I know that we're social distancing, but hugs to everybody. So glad to have you online today. This morning, there's a parable out there that many of us are familiar with. It's in Luke 6, and it talks about two men who build for themselves a house. One builds on a rock, which is Christ, and one builds in the sand. The one who builds his house on a rock is building his life through Christ. In the Lexington Bible, it says, "He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when a flood rose, the steam broke and the house could not shake it because it had been well." We may know the story about how many of us have been through this. We don't know how much time has passed in verse 48 where it says, "on the rock," and the word "and." The man could have built that house and years passed before his massive storm came and destroyed the other man's home. Imagine for a moment, just imagine for a moment, what if he goes to all this trouble building the house? He selects the right piece of property with solid bedrock. He digs deep. And he does the hard work of laying the foundation of his house. He builds his house. His neighbor, well, he's the one to build it on the sand. His neighbor finished a long time ago and is just lounging in the sun, playing around, having fun with his nice home. And here he is, slaving away, building his home. And then it's done. Year after year, it's a mild rainy season. The sun shines, and he begins to doubt himself. What was he thinking? Why did he go through all this trouble? His neighbor's home is still standing, and his back isn't sore. The man who built on a rock has spent a lot more money on the foundation, and his neighbor had all the money to spend on himself. He's gotten a bigger TV. He's got two brand new cars. He went and bought a boat. He got an RV. And there's still no rain. There's no wind. There's no storm. You know, sometimes obedience is like that. You do all this work, you invest all this time and money, and meanwhile, your neighbor seems to be living it up and doing whatever they want. You're denying yourself, and they're indulging themselves. It seems as though, in the end, it doesn't matter. Sometimes obedience means you sit there for days on end, where the sun seems to shine on everyone, and you wonder why you went through all the trouble. But I want to tell you, the storms will come. And when they do, the rock, Christ, our Lord and our Savior, will not let us down.
Amen.
You know, students often say that school would be great if they didn't have to take tests. We don't like taking tests, but they seem inevitable in school and in life. Testing is really about accountability. they answer the questions. Did you prepare? And do you understand the material? In truth, the whole issue of accountability seems that our work matters. God holds us accountable for the use of our gifts and abilities because we matter to Him. We have a purpose in life. You see, our title for today is Your Work Will Be Tested. And it's taken from, our scripture's taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 through 15.
According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire.
You know, some persons in the Corinthian church were picking sides when it came to various leaders such as Paul or Apollos. This had caused division in the church and had hampered its ministry. You read that in 1 Corinthians 1, 10 through 17. Here we find Paul indicates that he and Apollos were merely servants through whom they had believed. God had given the opportunity and empowered them for ministry and thus deserve the credit for the growth of the church. Paul seized the moment to talk about the role of every believer in building the church. Oh, we all have a role in building the church. Our focus today will be on four of the roles of each and every believer as we walk through the text. Those roles are, first, building is not an option. Second, you do choose the materials. Third, the day will be revealed to all. And fourth, the day of reward is coming. So let us start our journey with the first role of every believer in verse 10. Verse 10 reads this. It says, according to the grace of God, which is given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. Each man must be careful how he builds, and this includes every one of us. The followers of Christ does not have the luxury of choosing whether or not they participate in the advancement of the kingdom by building the church. This is non-negotiable, and therefore everyone must be careful to build with quality. When Paul founded the church in Corinth, he set the only foundation that can be laid, and that's a person and work of Jesus Christ. Yet, he knew that others would come after him and build on that foundation. there is only one foundation for the church. Let me say that again. There is only one foundation for the church. You see, it isn't founded where we do what we want to do. It is built on Jesus Christ. It isn't a church if Christ is not involved.
Yes.
One it can't build on any foundation other than the foundation that has already been laid. But one can build unworthily on the one foundation that stands tall.
Amen.
I want to say this, though. You can build how you want to build, but I got to tell you, God will test the buildings. He will test the work of all his followers, and each one's work will become manifested. Some building with precious stones like gold, silver, precious stones. Others with unworthy materials like wood, hay, and straw.
Yes.
Build it how you see fit. You see, our next role is you choose the materials. You see, as we look at verse 12 and continue down our journey, you have the choice. You make the choice concerning the materials you use, and that choice will both impact your life and your eternity. The contrast between gold, silver, precious stones, and wood, hay, and straw could not be any more graphic. The issue is quality, value, and permanency. The quality of building materials must match the foundation, which is Christ.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, notice that the king who will supply the materials for the building, it's all in how you prioritize your service to the king through his church. So he's already giving you the foundation. It's what you do with it. Listen, there are precious stones, and I want to tell you that here we're not talking about precious stones such as jewels. Y'all know those diamonds and that gold that we wear and everything else. We're not talking about that. We're talking about fine stones like marble and granite. Mixing the wisdom of men and the wisdom of God in the work of building the church is like using alternate layers of straw and marble in buildings. Straw may be fine. It has its place in a barn, but it's inadequate building material. In the same way, human wisdom and fleshly attractions may have a place in life, but not in the building of the church. Paul says the work needs to be tested to see what sort it is. If one did a lot of the wrong sort of work, well, it may well be as if he had done nothing.
Amen.
His work will be burnt and vanished in eternity. The theologian Moody put it this way. He said that converts ought to be weighed as well as counted. Which brings us to point number three, that the day will be revealed. Each one, every one of us, will be held accountable. Look at the phrase, the day. It refers to the coming of the Lord, or the day of judgment. The Bible teaches us that on that day, the quality of our work for the Lord will be apparent to all. It is to be revealed by fire. Fire will either purify, as it does with metal, or it can burn away the chaff. You see, this passage does not suggest that one can earn or lose salvation by works. It does indicate that we can waste a life created by the King with great potential. You choose. Paul also refers to this great testing in 2 Corinthians 5 and 10, where we must all appear before the judgment seat, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. When our work is tested before the Lord, we will be rewarded according to what remains. I'm giving you the scripture so you can go look it up. 2 Corinthians 5 and 10. And this takes us to our fourth role that every believer has. And that is, the day of reward is coming. Now here, there's a sobering thought. Many, many people who believe they are serving God, but are doing an unworthy manner or an unworthy job, and they will come to find in eternity that they have, in reality, done nothing. Let me say that again. They will find that in reality, they have done nothing for the Lord. You see, some will be saved, but with a life that was wasted and received no crown to give to Jesus for his glory, as we find in Revelations 4, verse 10 and 11. So, as I close today, I just want to recap a few important truths that these scriptures teach us. First, there is no insufficient member in the body. We are all important.
Yes.
Everything we are and everything we have is infused with kingdom potential.
Amen.
Number three, the fear of failure is a tool of the adverse, of the adversity. And fourth, on this Valentine's Day, God loves and values us so much that he does hold us accountable. I want to close today's message with this poem. It's called The Builder or the Wrecker. It goes like this. It says, as I watch them tear a building down, a gang of men are in a busy town, with no heave or ho and a lusty yell, they swung a beam and the sidewall fell. I asked the foreman, are these men skilled? And the men you hired, if they want to build? He gave a laugh and said, no indeed, just common labor is all I need. I can easily wreck in a day or two what builders have taken years to do. And I thought to myself, as I went my way, which of these roles have I tried to play? Am I a builder who works with care, measuring life by rule and square? Am I shaping my work to a well-done plan, patiently doing the best I can? Or am I a wrecker who walks to town content with the labor of tearing down? Oh Lord, let my life and my labor be that which build for eternity. In closing, I have two scriptures that I want to read to you. First is from Ephesians 2 and 19 through 22. It reads, "Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom you also are built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." And finally, really don't want to miss this. "After the work is done, the test has been passed, we will receive a reward for the work that remains. Imagine what it will be like to hear the King declare, 'Well done, good and faithful servant.'" Father, we just thank you for this word today, that we, as members of the body, are challenged, that we are obligated, that we are required to help build upon the church. Not tear it down, not destroy it, but build upon what you have set forth, Lord God. So, Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord God, for your word. We thank you for your trust in us, Lord God. We thank you for your love, your kindness, your mercies, Lord God. Now as we depart from this place, but never from your sight, Lord God, we ask you, Lord, to plant this word deep in our hearts, that whatever we do, whatever we say, should be to build upon the foundation you have set. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Hallelujah.